you to tell me something about how you started your business on Bond Street.
I started my business on Bond Street in August the 1st, 1901. My husband, which wasn't my husband at the time, he started Dog Business, which was the only Negro store in Harford County. Only. And stayed only. And been 81 years, August the 1st, being in business. Of course, I married him in 1906. See?
Oh.
And from then on, 75 years ago, it's July the 12th.
Oh.
I've been running these colors. Young folks. I don't know. And then, don't put that down because I'm just kidding. That's it. Am I saying that and putting it down?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, we can take it out.
Huh?
We can take it out later on. We'll just take the whole thing.
Don't let me. I don't want to be Nixon now.
How old are you?
I'll tell you. Okay. You know, just right.
Right.
It wasn't Richard's right, I say. But then, of course, from then on, you know, I ran the store and the business and like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's the one that, you know, traveled. And I ran the business. Then, of course, there were kids.
How did you get the money to start a business? Huh? How did you get the money to start
a
business?
Oh, that is his story, and I can tell you that, too.
Okay.
See, you know, in those days coming along, in 1901, you know how it was. You can call it, you know,
yes,
our folk, our people, they had nothing, and they had no chance. And other boys, all the young men and boys that were here, born and bred around here, they would go to different cities, you know, cities. And so, of course, when he was, he worked in hotels, you know, around the hotel. They had a big hotel up beyond the barn. Then they had one down there where the Bombers Hardware is now.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked there for 75 cents a month.
Mm, a month. Is that how I can?
And got you no kidding. That's what they got. Maybe made a dollar. All the women that worked in the people's homes and things like them, and they got $2.50 a week, $1.50 a week, $1 for a basket of clothes as big as this table, and with all the family sheets going on and did everything. And man, they thought this was getting big money. Because I remember one woman friend of mine I knew, she worked on Broadway. Of course, Broadway is all, you know, them days. Sounds like Broadway sounds.
Yes.
You know, nobody lived there but and man, she worked for Judge Robert University, and she got $2.50. Oh, that was a town talk. She got $2.50 a week. She had, they have a great big family, right? The family, fine family, and all like that. Oh, she and did everything. Got $2.50 a week. That was wonderful, wonderful. See, I was just
changed.
Because I was going to see what happened. See, when I left the last school, that should have been the first part of the story.
Okay.
See, I went to school, and of course, when I went there, and you know, we didn't go, I didn't go to two other, because see, I had three brothers, and they all had finished school. One of them had gone to New York, the other one was in Philadelphia. Other ones was a policeman in New York, and other ones, Martinsburg, Virginia, I think, and he was head baggage master there for B&O Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
One of my oldest brother and other brother worked for a millionaire in New York. He went to Europe and, you know, traveled with, you know, what's called valets.
Yes.
And then my other brother, younger, third brother, I'm the fourth brother, he become a policeman in New York City for 30-some years. And I'm sitting here, I'm going to walk in here. Well, is he in there? I'm going to get you this petition right to you. Wait, because I only stayed in school about 5 or 6 years, but I was there with the rest of them, past them, going on about my business. And so I went on to Douglas High School. And of course, I went and get married, and I took teacher's test and passed for teaching and everything.
Mm.
But still, I went on want to get higher education and then got higher by getting married. I'm never going to get married. I wasn't thinking of such a thing. Never had a boyfriend in my life. And then that happened, and I mean, I got married after I finished in the high. You know, Douglas Jenner.
What was your family name?
Huh?
What is your maiden name?
My maiden name was Smith.
Oh.
Uh-huh. My father was named Richard Smith.
Mm-hmm. You born here?
Huh?
You're born here?
We are born and bred and raised in the only family in Harford County. I mean, in Bel-Air, as I know, that is in Bel-Air.
Mm.
I don't know anybody here is Bel-Air people, excepting us.
Mm.
I mean, anybody living.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And of all my mother's 10 children, I'm the only ones living.
Mm.
And of course, you don't want me to tell you how old I am.
How old?
You have an idea?
It's on your sheet, I think. It says, it's on your nomination sheet. Think how old.
Well, I mean, I don't, because you tape and everything. And I mean, but I don't want to tell me, but I tell everybody how old I am. I had a birthday December 30th.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I was 92 years old.
Oh, congratulations.
And I'm the only one out of 10 children that's living.
Mm-hmm.
The girl over there, you see the picture?
Yes.
That's my sister Hester. She's a Hamptonite. I've been all around Hampton, all through Hampton, went there and stayed and went to some of the plays and everything. Mm-hmm. I see so many, she went. And of course, I went away and I was going to college, finished college, but I got necessary, you know, I end up getting dumb. I mean, because I wasn't a person that even had, you know, one of them never had no boyfriend wanting to do with no way she was. So, you know how it happened. Like everybody else, you listen, then you go and get married.
So then you decided you were going to start your
family.
Business.
I have a lonely family.
Yeah.
I had six children, all of them graduates, and all of them, one doctor, five teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do so bad.
No.
And of course, you know what I had to do. I worked because them children had to, because I made up my mind. See, there wasn't any school. When you finish school in Harford County, see, when you finish elementary school, which is a little red schoolhouse, mm-hmm. all over the county we had them, you know, we had houses right over here, a little building.
Where the health department is. Where the health department is, was one, right?
I built that building.
Oh.
And that's the big high school that I built.
Oh.
But I mean to say, what happened, we had a building had moved down here at the slave days, you mm-hmm. know, and it was right across in front of me, right over there,
mm-hmm.
and a little, our little schoolhouse, and of course we was big shots because we had two teachers, and the building wasn't as long as this kitchen and this dining room,
mm.
and then of course you had the part where the principal was there,
yes.
And then I had a woman teacher later on, and then she taught us, you know, helped a little bit, because all other counties, you taught all 12 of them, right. All the school, you know, everyone went in college, you know, mm-hmm. ordinary, but they got so they give you an extra teacher, like, help out or something, like some places did. And of course, if you were colored, see, all the colored children finished school. Say that when I came along, all the boys, you know, they couldn't go to work until after Christmas because they had to go out and help the farmers and work for the white folks, you know. And then they see that they could go as a rule. They went, but I mean, they didn't go as a rule, but I mean, some of them did. And of course, they would go work later. But all the boys and everybody finished fourth and fifth grade, you know, got tired of going to big boys and go to work or leave town. And then what happened, how come they all, so many of them go in? Because Susie wasn't around year-round, you know, a little bit of work you did around here. You picked tomatoes in the spring and go out in these fields and do all that kind of work for 25 cents, 10 cents a basket or something like that. And see, them days when, I remember when they built the sales up there, that what's going on, place where they just tore down. When Albert Hill and some of the boys got $0.50 an hour for helping the lady with the stove. Oh, that was great.
I know it was.
That's
a big difference.
And you tell me, oh yeah, but when farm time comes, or any time comes when the real work was going on, fall work and like that, and you $0.40 or $0.50 or something like that, when it's giving men, real working men, $0.40 to $0.75 was top of the town. See, you know what people got. And do you see that sometimes on television, well, how they got up there, like all them big guys, you know, and say how they, when they went away and they got New York, they had $11, they had so and so, and how much money they got. And like the girl was saying, one of them old actors, she was saying, oh, she went to Hollywood, she got $50. And she was rich. So, you know. And then I remember when they would say, oh, some a big hotel or something had so-and-so, or so-and-so made so much money, he lighted a cigarette with a $20 bill. And
what?
Just imagine, then the money, oh my goodness. Well, I remember when World War II came, they said pork chop was 38 cents a pound, everybody like had a fit.
Right,
you can't even buy one for But it's a shame. And I remember distinctly when this World War II was, what they said. They said, well, you know what's coming? It's going to be a great store that sit all out uncovered, and people can pick up and pay, and all of them, people should go crazy. I remember when they were talking about it.
It was like malls now.
Just imagine all the things that happened.
Oh, no.
Oh, brother, I lived to see them all. Mm-hmm. And I never took a day in my life.
Hmm.
And I made 24 hours a day, which I did practice 10, 15, 20 hours a day.
Sure.
Because, see, I run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And run the store and run the business, and of course all my children went, and then of course later on in the school, of course I bought that too, that later on getting seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
Cause see what happened, and see in Belline now, which one's gone, six of us that went to school at the same time, that's Cornelia Ruff over there,
mm-hmm.
her sister died about a couple of months ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Anna Regan up here mm-hmm. at three, and old Scott and Levy and I, six of us living, and all of us living, and went through the same time.
Oh.
And every one of us in school long before me, I went in there and stayed in there about 3 years, and went on out and left some of the most of them in there. Because after I went, and then you know what happened, they had the teachers in them days, had the teacher's examination in the fall, you know, when they get ready to open school. And of course, you know, of course the colored ones had to have a little different from the others. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, would have their examination. Well, after you finish the seventh grade, get to the seventh grade, because you didn't allow to have no seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't allowed to have any books at all, only about the fourth grade.
Wow.
And you could have fifth grade, I think some of them, you know, old books from the white school, and they have fifth grade or something like that. And then we had a fifth grade course when we had several principals, different places, you know. And the last one, Mr. Saunders, he was from down there in the Avenue. And then they had these, when I finished, Mr. Moore, he came here as a principal. See the school, and I think that's the same year that, of course, Cornelia Ruff and them there in the fourth and fifth grade sitting up there when I went in there, and I went out and came past them left and stayed in there. <My job. laughs> Of course, see what happened, my mother was, she was an orphan, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when the soldiers marched to Baltimore, you know, when the other people killed her, you know the history, don't you?
Yes.
All the history. Well, her mother died, and she was in an orphan. And you know, people took you to raise in them. Right down below here, just above Lake Fanny Hill, people that owned all their old acres and acres of property, rich people, they got her and raised, and she raised, and she was, she and of course they let her read and do it. She's one of them kind, but. I guess we got it honest, because everybody in our family, been many old, got to read the paper and do everything.
Wow.
And so she could, she read every thing, everything she get her hands on, they took her and raised her down there. Of course, when she married my father, and my father worked for, you know where the John Store is now?
Yes, ma'am.
In the line?
Yes.
You know where all that side is? Mm-hmm. From, you know where Hester's Film Station is?
Yes.
From Hester's Film Station up to Safeway, my father found that place all his life. He worked all his life. He had had everything cared for, and they had new teams, and he just ran the whole place. And the Bowmans that owned this, that did own this hardware store over there. They owned, you know, all that land. And of course, my aunts and people and all out there with a American Legion is way out there in that place. All that property for miles and miles, going to the Webster's, and they, and she and my and her worked for them. Mm-hmm. And my sister raised all them lawyers and sons. I remember one, Edmund Duffer's a great doctor, you know, and he used to tickle me when he was little. And my sister Isabel, she took care of him, you know. Mm-hmm. And he would say, and she would say, Edmund, you stand there. Don't you move now till I come back. And if you touch him, say, don't touch me. Big Bell told me not to move. He told him, Big Bell told me not to move. I used to laugh at him. He was so funny. And of course, you know me, I wasn't going to work for nobody. And I went on to Bowman School because see what my sister lived in Bowman City. She worked for a great Dr. Brown. He was a great doctor. And he went to Europe every year and everything. And she lived in Boston, and I went on to Boston, went to high school there. And of course, and then when then see what happened, they didn't have anything. You could be there until the fifth grade. They really lied you the fourth or fifth grade. Actually lied you, didn't give you no books or anything forward. And so Mr. Moore, a new principal, came here before I left. And he told her that when Kanugi finished, she, of course, didn't have any way to go anyplace. And then see what got me into this thing was this. My children, every one of them, trying to be 11 years old, I didn't bother none of them because I'd made up my mind that my children were going to get an education, and regardless of what, I made them run business and run all the business, and then we bought all this land from Bel Air all the way down to the Ford place. My husband bought all that land, and they had a recreation center, and you had a million people and everything else. That run that and helped him with that and everything. And
where was that?
Huh?
Where was the recreation center?
Right here on the pike.
Oh.
You go down the hill. You know our Conkles is?
Yes.
Well, that all belonged to us.
Ah.
We sold Conkle all that land like a fool because it was $1 million. Never was going to sell it, but my husband was sitting since like me 6 long years. And Steve says, now Steve gets so mad if he thinks of it, makes him sick to stomach because he says, this is my two sons, Mark and Steve, and I'll never sell it and don't sell it. And he's so sick. And this man come along, he worried the student, student, student. So Steve said, and you know, I don't care what he wanted to sell, you know, when we got a piece, we had it. Because see, after he, I never told you his story. See, his story, she'd been for, he came from every year after, you know, to get 17, 16, 17, nothing around different. Go to hotels, and they make a little tips, 5 or 10 cents, or they pay them, like I said, dollar, what did I say, $1.75 a month.
Right.
And they didn't bother about that, they're getting little tips, you know. And then, of course, all the rich people that came to these great things, the punk club and everything, came through here, and they'd have a, oh, and travel, you know how they do all the time. Travel all over the country, rich people in them days, and they rode all these horses and jumping races and things like that. And he worked in the hotel, you know, and you know, make good tips or something when he was at school. And so when, see, that was my brother's. Of course, he didn't have a chance. My son had, because mine's going to have right chances from the minute on. That's what I made in my mind on how many hours I made. And so he worked at the hotel. Well, in the when time come for Atlantic City to open, Saratoga, because he went to Saratoga every year, mostly. he went to Saratoga, you know, Saratoga, big Saratoga hotel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course in New York. Of course my brother was one, not him, but the youngest brother was a, he was a trainer, trained horses and race horses, and all them great horses with the great names. He worked for those people. And so they all went away as it got that age. Well, the first thing I have come to get away was to go to some hotel, and then they meet these people with money.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, he met this banker in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania.
Yes.
One. He what said, see what his whole, he would tell the tale when they set him off. What set him off is this. He met this old lady, the rich lady, where he was waiting on all the summer, you know, during the summer season, you know how they went. And he said, then she wanted him to go, I forget what city it was, she wanted him to go with her, you know, work for her after the season closed up. And he went that year. He said, that was a deadest old woman. Like, she thought of working at deadest, she was nice that she could be. And he said, I made up my mind, I ain't never going to work for nobody in my life anymore. And he said, when he came home one time, he seen this store, that I call it started, and you know how I call people to start something, bring it up, and it's right in their head, clothes up. And he said, I'll come home, I'm going to watch. He said, from that on, when he went after he got with that old woman, he said, he made up his mind. He said he went to Pittsburgh with this lawyer. He was a lovely person, treating him so nice. He was a valet for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, got $25 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, every penny. He, you know, he said, stay in, live there with him, everything didn't cost him. He washed all his own clothes and did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when I get some money, I'm going into business. I ain't never going to work for nobody.
Oh,
and so he came home one time, he saw the stores. I thought it started, you know, they got all messed up and closed. And so he bought that out and started the store business. That was the first 1901. I used to have the cards and everything where he started, cards, print all.
Oh.
I had them things for years. And I got a little stuff for that. And what happened, I had only lived on Bond Street because, and then when he came home, he had saved a couple of $1,000. Well, that's a millionaire, you know.
Sure. Yes.
Maybe a little more. Something like had his money at bank because he wouldn't spend the time, he said. I washed my head last night and I was going to do my, I did my hair, but I couldn't do it. I was getting ready to put some fun. I didn't get it done. So I did it because I had this bad cold, but I hadn't washed it for some time. And they used to do it, but he went to work, and he came and he said, I'm going to buy it. So he came home, somebody had died, he came home and saw it. And 1901, all the first, he bought that store. And I was telling Mr. Bailey, one of the men that worked for me all the time, he's the only one left now, most of them are getting gone. See, they did all the buildings and everything I had, and they built them, they took care of. And he's my only man, that anything I want, I just call him, no matter what it is. And if you want plumbing, you call him if you want it. And so he said he went to work, and he came in, he bought that store. He run that store, and that was all fresh 1901. The only color store in Hawkeye, and become the only color store. And we had this store. RMC had been, and then when I went to work, then we had this recreation center down here. It was 31 acres.
Mm.
And we bought 31 acres all the way back. You know where the white school, the big high school is?
Yes.
We sold them some of the land.
Mm.
And it was all on the front, and we knew who. My husband was a woman, and of course, you know what happened. He owned and bred and raced horses.
Oh.
And he would be in Cuba, Canada, New York, any place. We used to get free and you up in Cuba. And so, and you know, them was cold. They don't have no cold days like we used to have. Oh, you wouldn't think of having no cold days like that. I don't know the world's earth has changed since one of two. I mean, it's changed since that. I just sit down and I sit and watch the ever worked all day. I laid in bed all night and read papers and this and all stuff. And the day that Kennedy was killed, the day that his brother was killed, I'm looking right at him. Because I just kept up and down with everything like that. And how I did, somebody says, I never saw a person like you. You never sick. You never stop. How do you live?
Yeah,
and even though I kept that way, the first time in my life I ever was in the hospital was a year ago.
Isn't that something?
And I've been in the hospital to see people, but not me.
No, I know. Well, how do you figure that happened?
I don't know. God's above or so on, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've never had any sickness, any trouble. I never even had this. And I got what you call a DVD, except now how I got it, don't know. Like my spacer said. He said, you know how you get it? Do you have an idea?
I have it, but I thought you were born with it.
Oh, that's just what he said. He said, you either born with it, or you fell and had her. But I remember a lot, you know how children would fall down steps and things in them days. Way back when Mama would come along, fall down and hurt, because Fanny, when Fanny died, you know my daughter,
no,
Fanny?
No.
She taught in the hospital kind of 45 years. And she taught over here in, what you call them, for years. And she was Harper County itself, because she ran all of the churches and all that stuff, Lord, and stuff like that. And she had a stroke and died like that. She was everything to everybody in the church, the schools, and of course she taught Harper County School for 45 years. And she taught in, well, you from Aberdeen?
No, ma'am.
I'm from Fulham. And they places to live. I took the whole place down there. We started, one of them started making me send and made it. And I had done. When I sold that place, I had 21 families down there.
Yeah, an apartment Bond house on Bond Street.
I had apartments on the Pike.
On the Pike, oh. Hmm.
See, we had a great big recreation hall.
Mm.
Oh, as long as this whole block almost. And when, if you had came along there then, you thought the world had come. There was a million people, and you couldn't even sit down there when they had anything down from color people, because see, they come from bombs, they come from trucks, they come from everywhere. Because see, they didn't, people didn't have nothing.
No. What's the, what was the name of it?
What was it like? Because you didn't come along those days.
No.
And, we had people from everywhere, hundreds of thousands of people. And you couldn't even get up and down that pipe when they had anything. When they had any of the fairs, any of the teachers' things, any of the things. The hall was used for that, you know. And I built that place. I ran and chased and built and got the ground. We bought the ground with the acres and had to clear the ground because it wouldn't sell us nothing, you know. Because we were Negroes. And of course, my husband, you know, he's one of them kind of. Everything can be gotten, he'll get it. And me too, because I bet it. And so, and they wouldn't sell it to the Bormans. Of course, my father did all that places. He had a ice pond down there, and he had one down on this, what's called down below there on the road. And we just called Bormans. I said, you go right across every church and get over there. You're going back there and ice skate and everything. That's all the boys had to do, anything. And, because my father, he had run the day and mules and horses and cows and pigs. He had everything in the world down there. That's a great big place in them bums on there. And I cheered where my aunt lived there. On all the city and all down the bank, there's arches on all that. See, one great big family owned all so much of it. And then they had all these men working for them. And I remember just as well when they made that chain raid and all the cane color, people start trying to do something. And they wasn't going to work for them unless you give them certain money. And then Mr. Clark, I don't judge what's come home, fish out there near the American Legion. You know where the white American Legion's over there?
Oh, yes.
And the building all over there. And Judge Holland lived over on all that land, over on that side. And Mr. Clark worked for him all them years. They worked for him, they just give him. Like they did all the terrible work, you know, run all the kind of being raised at the farm. Just say they really did everything.
Yes.
And wife did everything for the family or one of the Webster families. Raised all the children, took care of them, washed them all, and did everything. And he, and when, and you know what that man asked for?
What?
That man asked for $15 a month, and he refused to give it to him.
Mm-mm.
And that's the first time, and then he left him and went with another family down on that road. And I said, all in years and years, he worked all his life back with them. They give them about $10 terms or something like that to buy a little food or something.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, on the property they had, because when Michael, you had more to eat, because see, he had pigs, chickens, geese, ducks, everything on the sun. And when he killed a pig, that was one for us.
Yes.
When he killed a cow, that was a half. That was, you know, you mm-hmm. just used to everything because we had our families. And but see, what I was trying to tell you about the few families belong here, because like the Ruffs, you know, mm-hmm. the Lee's mother.
Yes.
I remember when, I don't remember when, just before it came, I used to remember my mother talk about it. And all these people, like the Russ family, and all these families came from the Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to bring them. Now, Archer's brought all that family. They owned all this land and had all this land. They'd bring us loads of people up, you know, to work for them. And that's how, and then a horse loads them in Baltimore. When, you know, that church that won all that money for, what's the name of it in Baltimore, you know, the Saysville, practically. And of course, them people used to come up here by the truckloads and go to the church and everything. Because Caesar Army, some of them used to belong to it. And they
And about,
see, that girl was my husband's aunt that used to bring Elizabeth because she belonged to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in them later years, and belonged to it. And then they'd come all mad, they'd have the, all this church and drink something in that camp meeting thing. And then, of course, they had all these camp meetings around. All the little country places had big camp meetings mm-hmm. every day. Because I remember when my name's my Aunt Hannah and different ones, you know. Would have these, oh man, that was great thing to go. But me, I don't go on no buses or ride none of them buses going to them places, and I don't go to no camp meetings.
No.
No, I was like, oh, because everybody was gone. Oh, one place I used to go to called Order Point, and they'd have that, and down here where boats and things, and all the things, y'all, once in a while I went. Because see what happened in those days, you know, when World War II came
mm-hmm.
and they had, what do you call that, flu, it killed all them people.
Oh.
You never saw anything like that in your life. You mm-hmm. never would believe it. They were hauling people around in caskets, just things that hauled tomato boxes mm-hmm. and things. And people just died, like, people you would know like you. Mom wanted to say you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And the graveyards were stacked up like that with people. Now, during all those days, for my day, see my husband started what you call the jitney bus.
Mm.
And the funny part was, in Harford County, there were 7 cars and 7 rich people on them. Of course, we wasn't rich people, because we were rich because we had a Negro 1916 Ford.
Oh.
That made you rich, Brandon sure. Ford. Mm. You,
that's right. Only 7 in the whole town, huh?
Huh?
Only 7 in the whole
town. One old in Darlington.
County old.
The one bank and one man, Evans here. And, it was all 7.
Mm-hmm.
And Carver's and Price had the big store on Main Street. And we had a 1913 Ford. Well, oh, wasn't it the greatest thing ever happened
mm-hmm.
in the world?
Mm-hmm.
He was millionaires, of course.
Sure, yeah. You must have been really an inspiration to people. You must have been a big inspiration to the other people.
And then what happened, when we had Ford and was a little small, 2-3 years old, and finally, but seriously, and then when Sunday come, you see, you wasn't enough for you to do, you know. And what you did, of course, nobody could do enough unless you heart, and then they have, of course, didn't have enough of a liver saving, horse and wagons, if anything went on a dance, went on a habit, anything in Texas, and like that. Anyway, see, you hard these horse and wagons, mm-hmm. wasn't no cars in there, you know, wasn't mm-hmm. really cars.
Mm-hmm.
And when, of course, you and Edmund Siebert hit the bank, and another one, about three of them, of course, Brummel, he was supposed to be a rich man, And of course, Papa King had, they own where the Safeway is now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big hotel and he owned that.
Mm-hmm.
They call him the Papa King. And then when we got that brand new Ford, 1913, man, I've been driving the car since 1915.
Ah.
I just stopped about 4 years ago, and when this thing opened down, yeah, I couldn't. I stopped trying to make it down that place.
Oh,
all that traffic. Now, and when you turn back at you, you got 6 hours before you can get in.
That's the truth.
Plus, I've been sick for the last 5 years. When I got this terrible head, see, I didn't know it happened because I never had a cold, never had a sniffle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came along, my brother would have the flu, he had me when he had this. Somebody else had the measles, had the mumps. I don't care what they had, I never had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I had?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, do you have the chicken pox?
Yes, we had
chicken. Like people would tell them then, they children had all them things.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, when you, if you scratch them, you'll have a mark on your arm.
Yes.
I was so scared. And I said, and I had, that's the only thing I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And all the family, every year, my brother, Herb, the one went to Europe all the time, he was having flu or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really actually died with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, it was new, and so I don't care what they had. They had the mumps, all, but not me. I'd be right with them, but not me. Mm-mm, I never had nothing.
Hmm.
And when I had the chicken pox, I like that fit. Because they would tell you them tales about it, but they would leave mumps.
Yes.
If you scratch.
Oh, yeah.
Say. And children had all those things in them days.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, until they got these, until what's called got the, what's going to keep me down. I know every, of course I got medical books at high because I studied the medicine of rhythm. And so, but see, in the last 2 years, see, I had got these stars on my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got sick and I couldn't walk one. He had planned to take them and didn't do it. Not star, yeah. I got stars at first. And what I mean to say, I got these cataracts.
Mm-hmm.
I got one, he was supposed to take it off and I was so sick and that's the first time I ever was in the hospital in my life. I'm supposed to go to him. Yeah, I was in the hospital.
Oh.
And I got this terrible head. Just, I don't know what happened. Just couldn't hardly breathe. And oh, it was terrible. I think for a year and all of that. And then all of a sudden, I lost a whole lot of weight.
Hmm.
And now, don't worry, because it's a disgrace. Yes, it's very good action if you let them come to your store. And of course, my husband was a very person. He couldn't refuse anybody, you know. And they owed him a fortune.
Oh, excuse me, just a minute. Okay, so you're telling me about the business people?
And business people. You mean our people? Yes, you can come down and have to start in a basket and get in on credit, you know what
I'm saying? I mean, how did the other people that had grocery stores, how did they feel about you?
Oh, no, the white, I never had no trouble with the white people.
Uh-huh.
See, of course, you know, they got to tell me one tale. You know, after I started, you know, after my husband started, I never finished telling you this tale. He went to Pittsburgh and he went to that doctor. He stayed there for, 5 or 6, 7 years and worked for him. He said he saved his, I was 5 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that. Might not have been that long. But anyhow, he saved himself $2,600. And he came here one time, a friend of his died, and he saw the store open.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to Babylon, I'm going to buy myself a cold store. Right there on Bond Street, right on the corner of the, right where the barbershop is now. It's
the
only place that's open.
Mm-hmm.
Only place there.
Sure is.
Boy, did you know about that before now?
No, ma'am.
There's one store. See, you see that block with no, with all those things off?
Yes.
I just sold that to a banking company.
Mm.
And, of course, I'm a millionaire now, so they say. And I sold that. See, I had all that block and half the other block up on the other street. And I had a store there. I had a restaurant there.
Mm.
I had two restaurants. And I had a very big restaurant down where the store was, and a new store up in another place. And we had a store. And then I rented to a woman for, she was had sales of all kinds and things in there before that. And then, of course, the building was in apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, how many did I have? About 25, 28 people in the apartments in that street and up another street. And of course, I had all that property down there, mm-hmm. all that acres, land I owned. I bought all this land. See what happened about telling you about the school.
Yes.
We didn't have any school. Mm-hmm. And children got in the fourth grade. Of course, the older ones went, you know, halfway. And then most of them finished fourth, fifth grade. Men, you know, they're practically men.
Well, how old were they when they finished fourth? How old were they when they finished fourth grade?
When they finished school.
Fourth grade, yes.
Almost juvenile.
Really?
No. When they were 16, 15, 18, 15, 16, a big boy, mm-hmm. see, they couldn't work because they had to work for people until after Christmas.
Oh, that's right. That's why it took so long to get through school.
And then they went, if they wanted to go, some of them half went and this and that, whatever they wanted. Then they quit and got a job, and they mm-hmm. got a good job. They went on away. A lot of them went away and left. See, and when, as soon as they were all my brother, when the city, we was always in the school because my mother was one of them people that just, you know, she read everything. If you want to know about Jack Jones, the Great Beef Fighter, you know yes. about the, what them all great fighters' name. Mm-hmm. She had every paper and every book in the world, and she worked with them rich people, and she could read all their books, and she could read anything. She could sit and tell you about anything. Mm-hmm. And then I had three brothers that finished school. Far as they go, mm-hmm. and but on then they had great speeches and who was the best scholar and a whole lot of that, and they had up to the, I don't know, they never would allow you to say you were colored and you're up to any grade, because as far as the fourth, fifth grade, if you was in there, that was the end of the books they would give you from the school board. Oh. They wouldn't give the colored children any books.
Mm.
No, and then what happened, and of course when I went to school, Cornelia, that's one you saw today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, she was in the fifth grade when I got there, and mm-hmm. I caught up to her. From them day on, they hated me.
Oh, no.
I say that all the time. It's a shame I shouldn't say. But I mean, and that is Lee's, because she was, they called her Stupid Lee's when it died, and she was 96. And but she was, you know, she wasn't bright because Cornelia could play the organ, mm-hmm. and she could do the church game. And of course they didn't have, of course this, her father had left them, you know, and they didn't have anything. And then some of the church people, and they had a lady who would come from Baltimore, teach you to play the piano,
mm-hmm.
and you pay 50 cents.
Wow.
And if you didn't have, of course you didn't have Ann Mark Christian, some of them used to give her, and she started playing them. Some church stuff. Then there, of course, was nobody then to do anything like that.
Right.
And of course, that's how she got into church and thing. And then, of course, they was in that the same way in school. Was nobody in no up in no grades, fourth, fifth grade, except one or two of them. Of course, she was smart. And of course, Lise was kind of stupid, like, you know, wasn't mm-hmm. smart. She was a nice girl and all that, couldn't you know, but, you know, of course, they made a lot of fuss over me and called her Stupid Lise and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she went away to New York with some people, a friend of mine, had to get this great doctor, some people, and a lady down this, below there. She went, and one time she took her up to New York. She got to living up there and working for this man. And they, when he died, they gave her around $10,000. Some cheap one piece of it. Mm-hmm. And of course, when she came home, she worked for some people up here in Bel Air, lawyer for years. And I think the way she was, she, when he died, after she worked so faithful for him, walked up and down these streets. She walked up and down to the way up above the station, way up there, every day. And, you know, I mean, she stayed there, and then she came back towards down, yeah. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, her mother lived over there on, up on Bond Street.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where did you say, you know where the barbershop is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, across there, you go in that little street, they had a little stone house. It wasn't big as our schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stood up and walked, you had to buy down to keep your foot down. That's how the building made you could stand up. You couldn't hit your head against the ceiling.
Hmm.
And they lived there all them years. And of course, he had gone. Minnie was, her sister's daughter was the youngest one. Because she was young as Hester. And they went to school around the same time together. Because she's 85, I think, something like that. And of course, none of them were young. And of course, Presbury's up in New York, and I think Frank died. And Noble guy, he was involved. He left there. You know how they all left when they got a certain age, because there wasn't nothing around there they could get.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Steve went on to Pittsburgh with this year, you know, this year lawyer, because he worked for him all the summer in this big hotel. I think it's in Saratoga, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they would come with the families to stay in big hotels, Saratoga and all these great hotels, rich, rich people. And he wanted him to go to Pittsburgh with him. He went to Pittsburgh. You better be in Pittsburgh.
No, ma'am.
You should go hiding.
Don't go.
No, you gotta go.
No. It's not
you
nice.
You know, listen, if I go to Pittsburgh, yeah, I am in the street, see?
Mm-hmm.
Now you are up to the sky, living up in another street, a whole lot of houses along up there. Mm-hmm. That's how mountains it is. Mm-hmm. Man, I done traveled down. We come down at Pittsburgh. Them mountains come from Pittsburgh one time. And when we got up on that mountain, and when you up in the mountains, you come on down, you seen all that, and you were here.
Yes.
I knew everything I had in the job I seen on that road. I went to St. George, what's it called, and stayed and I took the kids, my kids, you know, and Bernice and Mike, that's what Dr. Paul, and I took them to Pittsburgh with me, and of course I went all out in Ohio, you know. My brother lived out there, and I went to Cleveland. My brother's and his sister lived in Cleveland, and my brother lived in Akron, Ohio. Because he was head baggage master all them years at, you know, railroad. And because my brother Jim lived in Philadelphia, because he was, ever since he went away, he was a young boy, like all of them went away, he become, for 35 years, he was a policeman in Philadelphia. And so and then we all had a lot of people, and I had a niece and nephew, and then they'd come, and of course one of them, I got another. And what got to me, my nephew Eddie, he looked just like his father. He was a beautiful person. And he died in 64, in 74, I mean. And he was perfectly all right, and all of a sudden he got something in his stomach. And he had a home, built a home in Philadelphia, and got a home outside of Philadelphia. And then, of course, all the rest of them lived out there and had homes and everything up there. And he turned around to his daughter. She got married, she built a home. But he would have himself a building a home, and he went back down to Virginia and bought all this land. Man, he's got a gorgeous home down there.
Yeah, so all your family has really worked.
Himself, huh?
All your family has really worked to get something. That's really wonderful.
That's why they didn't like us. And one fella, Neil Moore, he was a cousin of his. He said, "Them niggas are black Jews."
Oh, no.
He used to say all the time. And man, if you say more, they hate you because you got something. Did you ever notice it? Did you ever live to notice that?
No.
Where did you live? You must have lived in the city, didn't you?
No, I lived in a small town.
Nah.
I grew up in a small town.
Small town.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, they hate you, no, but you know how they are. They don't know. Because, wait, let me see, you say store business? We had store business, we sold with grain and oil and everything. Then they, you know, everybody had to get a can of oil to put in the old stove and all them kind. They walk past my door and walk uptown and get up to the piano. A lot of them, they just don't. They're really funny people. They know you can do with them. Not one. And of course, you know, they all have some instigator. And of course, you know, some people, you know, I don't like to say it, but I said one time to Cornelia, because she always, see what happened, I had a principal named Mr. Washington. He was such a fine old man, and he was our principal for years. And of course, he'd been there for years. And I went, you know, I only stayed in school about 4 years, you know. And when I got in the, I was been there about 4 years. Because see what happened to us, I guess the reason why I often said, because see, when we were young, I had 1, 2, 3 brothers older than me. And they had all the books and all the everything and all, man, they was making all the fuss. And of course, my oldest brother, Eddie, that one, he was a great speaker, you know. And then they had another fellow, and then they had a contest. Who was the best speaker? One named Toby Jen, and all, you know, made a lot of fuss. You know, Mr. White was that type of a man, even though the things were different. And I always had to, always, you know, and they had books, you know, then you had a whole armful of books to bring home, and everybody from that high on up had the books and down the floor and reading no much as they knew. When I went to school, I went there one day, he was in the fourth grade the next day. Because, see, you know all that stuff.
Oh, I see.
And then I could read and write and talk. And I think it's kind of a, I don't know what you would call it. Everybody seemed like our family is mathematically, like mathematician. Because Steve become a mathematician, you know.
Yes.
He taught mathematics in the high school in before. In the white high school in the building. Mm-hmm. After closed the college schools up, he taught mathematics and geography, and he's great on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and of course my mother, she just read, and they had all kinds of papers and books and knew all things about everything about her in the world, because she was one of them types, in which, you know, very few people, you know, colored people, you know, very few, they don't read, that's one thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't read now like they should. Of course we read all the time. Now every one of my grandchildren, time the minute goes him down on the paper and tell you all about the ball game, who's ahead and who's this and who's that and so. But I mean, say, they don't bother much, too much about them thing. I don't know if they're doing any better than that. And so so he came home and he bought that store. August 1st, 1901. And then he went off
to a millionaire.
Huh?
Now you're a millionaire, huh?
Oh, sure, you niggas got that.
Yeah.
And then what happened, which is really, it wasn't funny, because one thing about it, people didn't have anything. They looked, they had something to eat.
Sure.
You know, and all the mothers did that could do anything, washing on.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a basket as big as this table and piled up with everything them white people could put in it for a dollar.
Yeah.
And what did you have? Nothing. And of course, I remember them when they were here, because they had a grandmother named Anne Jones, and she was, Minnie looks just like her. And I told Minnie she looked like her. And her and Mama used to be great friends, you know, in the end days, all the old folks come sit out on the steps and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Hester was little, about 3 years old. And Hester had, you know, she was one of them, she had hair down to here. And great long hair, she, my mother had all that, you know. We all had it, so did I.
Oh.
Until now, I cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever, you know, coming out, and my niece came up here and she chopped my hair off. I said I was going to do it, but I didn't really intend to do it, because I just kept it this long. And I keep it. I had to wash it last night, and I didn't get it finished, because it hadn't been this gray. And so, and then they all had came, and then in them days, you know, talking about come to the church, you know, some
mm-hmm.
people come from that church, seeing my, and Steve's
yes.
aunt lived in Baltimore, and she belonged to that church, and she used to bring in people up, a busload, a truckload, for to have a, you know, have our Sundays, you know, they had a big Sunday Wednesday,
sure.
Men's Day, and they just come up in there, they had been dinners and everything else. Came for years
mm-hmm.
from the what you call them church, Archer Street Church.
Oh.
You know, I guess you heard on television, see, they were trying to save it. Because, see, when the slaves came up to Baltimore and around, they built that church, you know, got it built later on in there, and it's called the Archer Street Church. And they won $75,000, all they had to do was get it saved. And I don't know whether they ever got all that money or not. They've been talking about it all year. And so most of the people went to that Archer Street Church. You bring truckloads of them all like that. And down in Baltimore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come from, then they either have another big Sunday, and they come from chapel and come along. And then all the places like chapel and all up there, and of course, what you call Fairview, had camp
mm-hmm.
meetings, all. But she was, and then they had these here, and then of course Fanny and Emily had, she was, had the school children, had, she took care of all that junk, took care of the school children, she had bus places for them, take them to New York and take them to Atlantic City and all like that, and have regular trips, you know, like
mm-hmm.
that, and have people in trips. But not me, I don't ride on nobody's buses. I don't go on none of them trips, I don't go on nobody's camp meetings.
So when do you contribute your success in
no,
your business?
No, but see what happened when I was
mm-hmm.
a kid, when you was home, because you couldn't see where it was in them days, your parents didn't allow you to go with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you didn't have a lower grade, you couldn't go up with any Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, us, of course we were, she's very sweet. And we lived out on Broadway, out to that part of the house out there. And so, she went, of course, Aunt Dillon's children, we come to Sunday school with her, with them,
mm-hmm.
and the rough children, and then when that Sunday school, well, you come home. And after that, of course, I was none of those first And of course, there's always some people you don't like you to go around with. And we always got along very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my father worked for people who had all the food in the world. And so we got along pretty good. And then, of course, some people didn't have anything,
right.
You know. And you just had, and then when my children finished, as soon as ever, see, when Fanny finished fifth grade, I sent her to Hampton. And she always was sick. She always had this, had this bad ear, what you call this, death in one ear. Oh. She was operated on that for once or twice and all like that. Had a trouble there. And she had that sinus trouble, terrible. And my son Mike, he had the hay fever. And nobody in my family had, and I never had a sign of it. All these years, he said that DVD 7, and when it cost you 3, of course I read it, and I knew it was DVD 7, because when I went there, I told him what it was. Because, see, I keep medical books, so man, I just read them. See, what hurts me now, the last 2 years, I can't read, I can't see to read. Because, see, I was to have this one thing taken off the eye, and I didn't get it done. Then I got sick and couldn't have it done for some time. Then the other one got bad, and now I'm trying to get up about everything. And I was determined to have a school. See, I couldn't, my children, as soon as they were 10 or 12 years old, they went on to Bomb School, because my mother lived there, my sister lived there, and they went on to high school and went to Bomb. And they never went, they went all the way to college and all like that. And of course, we could do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But who else could do it? There was all them nicest girls. I knew some nicest girls and intelligent and everything, could be teachers, no wonder being there. But did they have anything? And I couldn't go there in school, because after he's in the sixth, they let you have sixth grade. Because, see, I got to that. And then when I got to seventh grade, that time, there wasn't nobody who wasn't supposed to have it. And my principal got the school board that let us have the grades. So I, you know, 7th, 8th grade books, so I stayed there that year, and so I said, I'm going on to Baltimore. So I went to Douglas High School in 2 years. And so, and then after we got that done, then when I got married and all, and they come along, and all these girls, and my children, time they were a minute old, they were going on the way to school. And they was around, and what else could you do? Be in the streets and do things you shouldn't do and all like that. And they didn't have a school, so I made up my mind. So we had that. And of course, the first PTA, that was it. We started the first PTA.
Mm-hmm.
And the white people had started one. We started one, and had the way started one.
Mm-hmm.
And time they met, we didn't get alive, or asked them to come, and other people around. And about a half a dozen, eight or ten came, and one or two came that run the church, and they wanted to run that and kick the money. And I said, we won this by the book, and we do it right. And this is the first one we're gonna do. And we're going to ask for a new school for the colored people.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I did, and I went, and the first thing Mr. Williams said, I said, I'm going up to Mr. Wright, and I'm telling him that we want a school for these colored children. When they finish school, they walk in the streets, and they don't have no place to go. Because you couldn't even go in the lot and play while the white people had a big school up there. And so he said, I will have to, and I said, I'm going, and when I invite them all for this frequency, I have 8 or 10, and they were older people, not, you know, a whole lot, you know how they do. And so I told him what we're going to do. We're going to get a new school. We're going to get it, I said. And he jumped and said, you know, you colored people wouldn't dare to go back to Mr. Wright in that school board and ask that man. I said, that man looks just like you to me. He's right. A white man. He has ideas. He had funny ideas. And I said, well, he's the same thing about him. He's up there and he's the principal. I'm going to ask him, tell him we want a school for these children. And I want to plan that. You know what he said? He says, and I said, we want a school. I took Miss Marchcom, West's mother, and the other lady with me, and we're going to be the committee, go before the school board. You all women ain't going to do that first thing. Say, I said, see, we don't. And we went to Mr. Wright, and he was nice and said, all right, he said, I don't know if the school board could build you a school, but still, these Rose Walden schools, that's when they started the Rose Walden schools, and he said, you can get one of them if you can get a piece of land. And I said, we can. I said, we'll get one of them. I said, I told him, I said, we'd have the Roosevelt schools, you could get something like that. He said, yes, sir, you could get them, but if you have a piece of land, if you all can get enough money to buy a piece of land. See, I bought that piece of land over there and put my $1,000 down and had a sheet for it. And I said, we get a school? Yes, sir, we'll have one.
Uh-huh.
Right then and there. And from that day on, brother, did I fight them niggas. Boo, 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 boo. The church fought me, everybody fought me. But I kept right on. I went on, run my business, chasing, run, made all 10, 12, 15 hours a day and kept on. Until I got that school. When I got it, we got it built. And the head of the boys down there came. Half of them wouldn't come along. They'd be church. They got money out of church. All that little, this and that and another. That school boy, they wasn't going to give us none, them white people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start going to build this white high school after that. But nothing for the Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finally got that school and we got it built. And then when they got it built, I went down more from there and I got all them desks. I got all of them. They had a man up there, made all of them curtains, blinds, and everything to it, and opened it up with everything.
Mm.
And when both my sons went to the high school over here, you know, they let them build. They had a man that taught them how to build, you know, do some, you know, make benches and different things.
Yes.
And they made a great long lap. And because we had millions of books, because we were one of them. And I took that rack they made and put it in my house over there, because we lived across the street. I mean, we lived up on Pond Street. And put it in there, and I took that rack and put it in there, and I opened a library.
Oh, wow.
When the high school went, I had a library. And I went to work, and we had a sewing room.
Mm-hmm.
I had an old sewing machine. I got a drop leaf sand machine, paid $200 something for it, and I gave them that $200. I went over to this man for selling sewing machine, bought two more, and set up sewing place.
Mm.
Then I turned around, I took tables and benches and chairs out of my business place and made them a kitchen.
Mm.
And we had everything any high school would have.
Mm.
And I just used my own things and went on, and I bought them, the last thing I bought them, Mr. Penny used them, bought them, sold all of them. I bought them all of them.
Mm.
And then a man, all they would come down, and some of them come down. And then I said, we're going, all you ain't running, this money goes to the bank. And one man that run all the church and took the money and tell them what they want, what they had, and what they didn't have. Didn't tell them nothing unless he wanted it. And he come tell, I always did this. I said, you won't do a chair, because we go by the regulations, the book, the rules, and God by them, and nothing else. And no money. And I said, this woman, Miss Clark, she's assistant secretary, treasurer, and she goes to the bank and puts the money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm, he kept, and I said, you don't keep this. And they walked out, and so I just kept. And I bet you, dog, we didn't have half a dozen people, 8 or 10 people to come in, but more old ones, more than there was, and I just didn't stop at all. And had a rally one time.